Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host, Hugh Keldon, and today I'm joined by Sud as always and our special guest, Emma. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm really great. Super happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
No, it's okay. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on. And obviously, you're now our second American guest.
Yeah.
So oh, wow. Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, we decided to get a few more from across the pond, so you made it across. I randomly stumbled across your live playing of Mass Effect on YouTube. I think you play on Twitch and then re-upload it to YouTube, maybe?
Correct.
Right, got you. Yeah, and I stumbled across it and I was just like, oh, this is cool. And I thought, oh, I'll reach out, see if you want to come on and maybe talk some Mass Effect, and here we are.
Absolutely. Super happy to be able to do that, especially since it's such a new series for me. I'm just super jazzed about the lore, about the character development, and a little less so about the combat mechanics. But otherwise, it's such an adventure, especially because I get to play it on Twitch with my community, and the vast majority of them have already played the game. And so everyone is waiting with bated breath. There's so much enthusiasm for me getting to experience things for the first time, and it gives them that vicarious ability to also kind of grab a bit of that nostalgia of their first times.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. I bet they're waiting for certain moments for sure.
Have you absolutely
spoilers? No spoilers yet.
No spoilers for the most part. I've just gotten past, so to give you an idea of what we can and can't talk about, I just got past Novaria. So I made my big decisions on Novaria, and we're setting up to head to Pharos.
Nice. Well, what was it that got you into Mass Effect then? How did you stumble across playing that? Because I'd noticed as well that you had been playing a lot of Dragon Age.
Yes. I stumbled across Dragon Age Inquisition, the first Dragon Age game out of the franchise that I had become familiar with. Played that in 2014, and absolutely fell in love with it. And I had a friend encourage me to start a YouTube channel because I did a lot of modeling and cosplay beforehand. And he thought I would have a personality amenable to it. And so I said, okay, whatever, I'll just try it. And it ended up being so much fun. And I realized that there were two Dragon Age games before Inquisition. And so of course I had to go and start at the very beginning. And so it's been a very nuanced tale up until then. I started the YouTube channel in 2016. And so we've been playing Dragon Age over those 4 years, and we're finally getting in to the meat of Inquisition. We've already, oh my goodness, what have we done? We're just at the part I've sided with the mages, and we're just about to go and address the breach with them.
Nice. I must admit, actually, Inquisition is the only one I've played all the way through, and I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah, but you're a massive Dragon Age fan, aren't you, Sud?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do enjoy them. It's funny though, because I went back to Dragon Age Origins probably 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Some of the game doesn't quite hold up. I'm not gonna lie, like it's a little bit clunky. It's a bit like the first Mass Effect, a little bit, you know, in terms of like there's that clunkiness, that sort of early BioWare clunkiness that they had in their games. Kind of like a Knights of the Republic even had some clunkiness, didn't it?
Oh, Knights of the Republic, you know. That's a special game.
But to be fair, like a lot of people, they talked down about the second one, and I can understand why, because they streamlined it and made it more linear, which was probably a mistake. Mm. But the gameplay did improve in the second one, in my opinion. And then in Inquisition, the gameplay is actually pretty good. I think it plays pretty well, actually.
I agree. So, Inquisition is my favorite out of the trio, and I know it gets a little bit of hate because I think when people are introduced to a series, they establish their expectations based on the first game. And so they assume that a lot of the structure, a lot of the mechanics, a lot of the methodology of playing will get ported over to the next iterations. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case. And so expectations get a little dashed, and so people get grumpy. But personally, I love the directions that BioWare is taken, even in 2. 2 gets a lot of hate as well, because EA kind of pushed it along a little quickly to be polite about that. But I mean, the characters that you get to interact with in 2 are so well written for the most part. I have some bones to pick with Fenris, but I think he's also a product of rushed production. Mm. And there's always something redeemable just because one game or another inside of franchise isn't necessarily someone's cup of tea. Doesn't make it bad per se.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think me and you might have a similar experience then with Inquisition, because I'd also read a few fans that, you know, weren't happy with certain aspects, etc. But it was essentially my first time of completing a Dragon Age game, and I was like, this is great. But we didn't go through the first two initially, so I don't have that like in the back of my mind when I'm playing it. But it was different for you, Sud, because obviously,
yeah, I guess it was, but in a way, when I look back now, Dragon Age Inquisition probably was the one I probably enjoyed playing the most, actually. When I got back now, even though I was a big fan of sort of the original in terms of, because the original was kind of like more, I don't know, what would you say, like more traditional, like a traditional BioWare game, like very RPG focused. Whereas then with 2 and Inquisition, they kind of opened it up a bit more action orientated, but I think it works for Dragon Age. I think, I really like the combat in Inquisition. I think they improved it a lot. And the game in general is just really good. It's just a really good game. I mean, it won Game of the Year, didn't it, in 2014? So
it did.
To be fair, 2014 wasn't the best year for gaming, but
but it still won.
It still won. It did well. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the new Dragon Age. Obviously, hopefully, we'll get one in the next couple of years. So Dragon Age 4.
Fingers crossed.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I'm really excited. To be honest, after talking about it for a little bit, it does make me want to replay the game. I think I've only completed it maybe twice. I don't think I've done it more than twice. So
I haven't done the DLC.
Oh, I played the DLC. It's good.
For Inquisition?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's meant to be good, isn't it?
Oh, no. That completes the story. You don't even have the entire finished narrative. It's very important. I would recommend, if you don't want to do all three, at least do Trespasser. Trespasser is the one you need. Mm-hmm.
I think you can get it pretty cheap now as well, can't you? I assume you'd be able to get them DLCs.
Absolutely.
Or you could go even cheaper and just watch YouTube video on it. Someone's playing it. Yes,
sir.
I mean, I've done that plenty of times, to be fair.
No, absolutely.
But 100% you need to check that out, so, especially before playing the next one. Just, you know, give some more context. You were playing Dragon Age, and then your community, because we spoke obviously a little bit off air, and the community then has pushed you towards Mass Effect, like, hey, check this out. Mm-hmm. Were you a little unsure at first?
I was a little unsure. I'm typically more of a Lord of the Rings girl than I am a Star Wars girl. And fantasy just always has appealed to me a lot more. I'm a very avid D&D player, and high fantasy is my jam.
Yeah.
And so with a more sci-fi oriented title, I was a little skeptical, but they assured me that BioWare was fantastic. And if I really liked the way that Dragon Age was established as a universe and how much attention they paid to character development and lore, that I would really like Mass Effect as well. So I caved and went ahead and started the series. And admittedly, I'm sold. I love it so much. And even though the first one was, I think it was 2007 that it was made, little older, but still has so much interesting writing. There are a few bones to pick, which we have fun discussing on the Twitch stream, but it's overall, it's phenomenal, especially for a 2017 title. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I think for me, like in terms of story, it's my favorite one. The story is so good in one. Like I love it. Like I just think the way they introduce the villains and everything, and just the characters, they're so good. The companions and that, I mean, that carries on through 2 and 3. They're just brilliant, some of the characters. Mm-hmm. So
I must admit, I'm actually slightly jealous that you get to play through the
trilogy. I know. It's like not knowing. I know. Yeah.
It's funny, actually, that you say you're more of a Lord of the Rings girl than a Star Wars girl, because that's when I laugh, because me and Sud have that debate a lot, don't we? Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
I adore Lord of the Rings. I've said this before. I still think Lord of the Rings is... I just think, because them three films are better quality than any of the Star Wars films, in my opinion.
I mean, it's kind of hard to argue, but
you can't argue anymore because Star Wars is just—it's fell off a cliff. So,
well,
in my opinion,
subjectively, yeah. But
Lord of the Rings is so good. Though.
Yeah,
there's a trilogy of films. Lord of the Rings
is—it's so good.
You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
It really is. But I must admit, I'm still more of a Star Wars guy.
You prefer the space stuff as well, don't you?
Yeah, the lore of space. I love that. Mm-hmm. So Mass Effect was definitely my jam. And so what is it in the first game that some of the gripes that you had so far?
I think my biggest gripe and the biggest learning curve for me has definitely been the combat. Sticky cover is my very worst enemy, and I avoid it at all costs, which as playing a sentinel can kind of be problematic sometimes because I'm a little squishier. I kind of need that cover. And it has gotten me into trouble, my avoidance of cover. But it's been a learning curve, but not something that's been insurmountable. So I just plow in with some biotics, use some abilities, bring along the right team, and it has been an enjoyable experience now once I learned how to dance around the less desirable aspects of combat.
Oh, yeah, the combat. That is something that we do harken back to, don't we, Sod?
I've got to be honest as well. I don't know what you look. I hardly ever go into cover.
No, but because, I do play it on the easiest mode, so I can just go through.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think with the first one, you kind of have to... Well, I think anything other than normal, it's a really hard game because like you said, the cover's so bad and it's so inconsistent. And you try and get cover and then you like clip into things or you jump over instead of going into cover. And it's... I've got to be honest, I'd mainly try and avoid cover completely. I just try and like hide behind the wall rather than cover into it. Or
yep.
Yeah.
I hate the... overheating as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is annoying.
Really winds me up.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
Especially for my style of gameplay, because I just run in, no cover, and then I start overheating. I'm like, oh, well, I'm in trouble.
You kind of you hear that, not that dun, 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 yeah. dun, that noise, that overheating noise as well. It's so annoying. But I tell you what. Actually, thinking back now, just thinking of a gripe that actually you probably both agree with. The sameness of the AI when they kind of shout out and stuff. When,
yes. Yes.
They say like the same two or three lines every time, don't they?
Yeah.
We were mocking that on stream a while back.
Their delivery is funny, the way they
say
it.
Yes. They all say it exactly the same. You're going to die. And then it's like, you wait, and three other people say it in the next 10 seconds. And it's like, all right, I got the idea, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. That is a gripe. However, that just, for some reason, every
it's part of the charm, though.
It is, but it reminds me of. Which Rainbow Six is it? Is it Vegas? When you used to play Terrorist Hunt, and then every time you'd kill one of the enemies, another enemy would shout out, "That bitch owed me money." Every time.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
And I was just like, "Oh my god, I'm sick of hearing that line."
Yeah.
But I guess, like you said, it's the charm of the game.
It's awesome at 7 as well. I think things have improved. Voice acting wise since then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so. I think you know, for a 2007 game, still holds up enough that you can get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Who's your favorite companion so far?
There's such redeemable qualities for each one of them. I think my favorites at the moment, where I am in the game, I really enjoy Liara, who I have romanced, and I really enjoy Tali.
Yeah, a lot of people like Tali. I don't know why. I'm not as big of a fan as Tali as a lot of people. Tali's the favorite, aren't they?
Right. Mm-hmm. I definitely hear that a lot too. I think she has a lot of room to grow. The culture for the Koreans is super interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of the allure for me. She's very upbeat and assertive and is just a very positive, peppy member to the team. Which always kind of appeals to me just at a very basic level. Honestly, they're all so cool. We've been taking Rex along on a lot of missions. I took him with me to confront Benezia, and he had a lot of choice dialogue for her, which was interesting, especially given I took him and Liara along to confront Benezia, as well as address the Rachni situation that is shortly after that, and he was less than enthused by my choices.
So you let the Rachni Queen go?
I did. I loved Liara's analogy there. She said, well, if I was a 16-year-old who was kept in a closet for the entirety of my life, like, of course I'd have issues too, and it's not fair to base the entirety of a race and whether or not it gets to survive based on this errant behavior when it's been set up for failure. And I guess my choice was more, let's try to have faith in this race of creatures and hope that they can do better. There's definitely a desire to do better, and they shouldn't be condemned for the sins of a completely different almost species, because they are just so entirely different. I think there was, what, 1,000 years that egg just sat in a spaceship that was floating around, and she talks about the way that she could kind of understand what was going on, even as an embryo. I think an egg would maybe be a better term for that. And just didn't know what was going on, and decided that she needed to be better and do better. And I wanted to honor that and to let her have that chance. Worst case scenario, I guess we have more Krogan if it goes bad.
I don't know what happened.
We can't really say much.
That's fair.
I made the same choice as you on my first playthrough. I let the Rat-Lion Queen go. What about you, Sud?
Well, which ones? I always get confused which one's the Paragon and which way's the which one is the Renegade choice, though. I always forget.
I always felt Paragon was letting the Queen go. Because
I agree.
Giving them another chance to...
But then it's always one of them for me, where it's like, it's one of them where you could argue that it, the other way as well, that Paragon would be killing her, in a way.
That's fair, if you're going to be like super lawful good. Hmm.
You know, because obviously there's consequences either way, I guess, for whichever one you do. So,
in my opinion, though, that's good writing then, because it does give you a dilemma, and if you can see good in both sides and bad in both sides, then it does make that decision.
As you'll find out with the other two games as well, there's a lot of choices like that, isn't there? In a lot of the games where you kind of like, the game might say it's a Paragon choice, but I always think like, is it though? Like,
yeah, you question quite a lot, actually, don't you? With the choices you've made, yeah.
Yeah, especially I think in probably the third one, the last one.
Hmm.
There's quite a lot of choices where you're kind of not really sure if you've gone right or not, but yeah, like you said, that's the beauty of the writing in the game. It's, you know, it's such special writing. And
by the way, what did you do then with the Rat-Lion Queen? Did you let her go as well on the first playthrough, or can you not remember?
I've played the game that many times. I've done both. I think I've let her go and killed her in different playthroughs. Yeah. You know, I've done, obviously, Renegade and Paragon playthroughs. So that's another thing, by the way. Are you going through the game as a good guy, a good girl, or a bad guy, bad girl?
I kind of take it in stride. I make my decisions based on how I'm feeling in the moment. I tend to lean more towards Paragon, just as a person. I have taken some Renegade options, especially when we were talking to Harkin in Korra's Den. That one was almost completely and utterly Renegade, but he deserved it.
That's the guy that's always drunk, isn't it?
He was pretty sexist, so we let him have it for that.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair...
He's not a good
choice.
He's not a good guy.
No.
I will say, though, that there, especially in the latter two games and even the first, there is some hilarious Renegade choices later on. Like, just fun. They're just so funny, the things that happen and the way your character reacts. And I think it's definitely, I don't know what you like, I think it's definitely a game series where I try to go through it once as like Paragon and then once as Renegade, just to see the differences and what happens.
As you know, I play mostly Paragon, so I haven't really done a full Renegade playthrough.
It's definitely worth doing.
I've been similar to Emma, though, in the sense of sometimes I have got to situations and I thought, wow, if I do Paragon here, I'm going to have to go on a lot longer to get this job done. I'll choose the Renegade option. And he just gets the job done straight away. And it's like, oh, well, move on. But my favorite, even though it's not in the Mass Effect series, another BioWare game. Oh, actually, no. I think it's Knights of the Old Republic 2, so I might have got wrong there. It's not BioWare at all. Obsidian. One of the dark side choices is literally just telling a guy to go and run and jump off into a black void. And that is one of the favourite things I've ever done on a game, and I don't know why. I mean, it's pretty vindictive.
Must have had a dark moment there in the game.
Well, he was annoying me.
The darkness consumed you.
I can't remember what he was saying. He was annoying, so I used the force persuasion. It was like, just go and run and jump off there.
I was going to say, I mean, do both of you two have their moments in games where you kind of just get really sort of pissed off with a character and you just go, you know what, I am just going to kill you or let you die, or because you're that annoyed at the time? That definitely happens with me sometimes in games.
Depends on the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There are definitely some parts in Inquisition and people that I'm not necessarily super a fan of. Like, I've played through Inquisition and not taken Sarah, and I've played through and not taken Vivian. And life's a little more pleasant, but I haven't ever killed one.
I haven't gone that dark.
No.
No. I must admit, though, Paragon is usually my go-to choice. I, on the remaster, I might actually play it all the way through as Renegade. You know, something different. Give me a different experience. But
I think you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy some of the dialogue going as Renegade. It's really good.
I've seen some clips.
It's funny.
Renegade Chef. And
it's good.
So yeah, you mentioned that you're romancing then Liara.
Yes.
So is
good choice.
Yeah, well, yeah, Sud would say that. I didn't romance Liara, but she's a great character.
Yeah.
What is it that drew you to Liara then?
My options were fairly limited. Because I think in Mass Effect 1, we only get the choice of Kaden or Liara, and Kaden came on real strong. And of course, one of the small hiccups in the original Mass Effect is that sometimes when you're being kind to people and choosing options that are empathetic and friendly, that that's misconstrued as flirting. Problematic. And so my Twitch chat was like, oh God, the shadow man's, you're shadow mancing. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm just being nice to people. What's happening? And so, of course, Caden's like, oh, hey, what's up? And so I was like, hey, no, I'm really uncomfortable. I'm going to leave now. Okay, bye. And then, of course, you talk to Liara and she does the same thing, which is a little vexing. I'd like to be able to be kind to people without them assuming that I'm hitting on them. And so I was like, well, I've got two options here and I'd really like to explore the romance. So I chose Liara because, in my opinion, she has a lot more nuance. She appeals to me more as a character. She's a very sweet, adorable, scholarly, awkward. She's just very upfront and kind and honest in that very blunt, awkward way. And I found it endearing, and Kaden's just a guy with biotics.
Very boring.
I feel bad, but
I think I've got to say as well that, to be honest, if you're playing as like a male character as well, it's the same with Ashley a little bit, isn't it? In terms of, I guess Ashley's kind of the generic sort of...
Exactly.
You know, the one that's always standard. Kind of trying to hit on Shepard and... You know, so, whereas with Liara, I agree. I think with Liara, it's more Shepard kind of, you know, trying to bring out the... Because she's very awkward, isn't she, Liara, at first? She's very kind of socially awkward a little bit. You know, she's into her studies and stuff like that. Whereas... You know, even as you go through the first game, she kind of opens up more to Shepard, and I like that about Liara.
Absolutely.
That's what I think, yeah.
And apparently, I think she's one of the ones that you can romance all the way through, which I'm kind of excited about. Although Twitch chat is not. They really want me to romance Garrus.
Garrus is the boy.
Garrus is great.
He is my favorite character on the whole game.
Yeah, so. Mine as well.
Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. We did a tier list, didn't we?
We did do a tier list. Yeah,
we did a tier list of cards. Garrus was ahead of.
Oh my goodness! Yes. Oh no!
You're not.
I had to reevaluate my decision with Liara.
Are you not a fan of Garrus?
He wasn't romanceable in one. Apparently, he is in two. He's really like. Renegade cop right now. He's really romanticizing, running in, guns blazing, mowing everyone down without asking questions, and living in America with everything that's going on right now. That's an extremely problematic viewpoint, and it's resonating a lot here in 2020, and it isn't necessarily the best look at the moment. And I'm hoping that he has some character development and maybe calms down with that a little bit and realizes that there are a lot of situations where we need to stop and think and examine and get a lay of the land before we start shooting people. So
I think, to be fair, though, I will say with Garrus, he's definitely one for for all three games in terms of his character development, I think. I don't know if you agree, Luke is fantastic throughout the three games. Especially because you're thinking some of the things, you know, in two and then three, some of the things that happen with Garrus and just, yeah, it's, there's a lot I just think he evolves. Character.
There is a lot more to
He does evolve. Mm-hmm. He kind of changes, from, doesn't he, in a way, from like the throughout the, you know, the games. He's not always got the same mentality or mindset, so it's...
You have a direct influence on him.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that, because we already did his companion quest, and we did kind of try to temper that attitude a little bit, because he's like, well, just murder him, and it's like, hold on. Well, if we want to really, like, and like, my educational background is law, so I was like, hey, if we want the full extent of, you know, justice to be, you know, due process, we have to take him in and go about this the right way, because you can't just vigilante everything. And he was a little upsetty about it, but I'm hoping that having these conversations and being somewhat of a tempering influence will absolutely have that effect, because he's got so much room to grow, and I'm really, really excited to see that growth.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you after you've completed the series.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that would be great, and have a full spoiler chat and just see what characters you like the development of and the changes, because it would be interesting to see if it differs to me and Sud. We are 100%, well, I say 100%, but I'm pretty confident we are in the majority that Garrus is a well-loved character and people do
absolutely.
So it'd be interesting to see, especially if you don't turn and you still have your issues with his character. So
well, we all have those. Yeah, I guess we'll, like I said, though.
Oh, we all do, yeah. With
you know, because, well, we all have characters that other people love and we don't. I mean, for me, I don't know what it is, which one it is for you, Luke. For me, it is Tali, because I know most people like adore, especially for a romance option, most people adore Tali, but I was never really a fan of the romance in Tali, so.
I guess mine was Ashley.
Yeah.
A lot of people found it boring and I romanced it most of the time.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Ashley.
Yeah. Maybe I'm the boring one.
Romancing
Ashley. I need to be a bit more...
Do you think it was maybe because in the first one it was the only kind of human romance option? If you were a male shepherd.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because I guess, like, obviously you've got, like, Liara, who's, like, Asari, and then there's a few others, but I guess Ashley's the only kind of, I don't know, what would say straight down the line human... female romance option, I guess. So maybe I guess a lot of people when they first play through the game maybe went with either Kaiden or Ashley, depending on who you
can
play.
Can you romance Kaiden or Kaiden as a male ship?
No, not in the first. Okay. You can't. No.
Okay, so he wasn't an option then.
No.
Yeah, Ashley. I mean, turns out she's a spacist or whatever you want to call her.
Yeah.
So
space.
Yeah. So that is one thing that was off putting about
spacist.
Her.
Yeah. We have lots of memes about that on the Twitch stream. Like, I have an emote specifically to spam when spacist dialogue occurs in game. And
it's funny though, isn't it, how they did that, and like even Mass Effect 7, it's like you think like that's so clever, because that is probably like realistic in terms of like you would get
100%.
People that, even, you know, especially if you think about, you know, humans interacting, they probably would be sort of spacist, if that's what you want.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was just going to say that we know that the other way around as well, a lot of the space, they're racist or spacist towards the humans.
It's such a healthy dialogue to have, because a lot of this does occur in the wild, quote unquote. This happens all the time. And I think that BioWare did a great thing by allowing you to experience it in that light. Because sometimes people who are prone to that behavior in real life can't necessarily call it out as much. And so we'll kind of balk at it in a game. And so maybe, hopefully, that kind of illustrates, oh, wow, maybe I shouldn't do this to fellow humans, and then sets an example in other ways to how to properly respond when these things happen, and clearly gives you, you know, renegade points for enforcing these views and paragon points for sticking up for the other species and reinforcing the fact that we should be kind and good and empathetic towards one another. So I really love that BioWare put these things in here, because I initially was like, hey, wow, whoa, we have to deal with this like in real life. Why would I want to deal with this in a video game? But it's so important as a teaching mechanism. Oh, it's great. We've had tons of conversations about that on YouTube and on the stream. And I'm really appreciating the fact more and more and more that BioWare is using its platform to help mold people into better human beings.
Yeah, accept other people's differences. I do wonder how many people who, you know, in life have, you know, racist thoughts, have played the game and then sat back and gone, actually, yeah, this hits home. I should be more, you know, open to differences.
Yeah, unfortunately, you might have had a few that were kind of I'm on Ashley's side.
That is true.
Yeah, he probably did, but I think it's a really interesting. That's probably the, because I don't know. I don't think Ashley's the greatest Mass Effect character in the world, but that is one aspect of a character that makes her more interesting. Just because.
Oh, absolutely.
That was my argument on our tier list, because
yeah, that's true.
I wanted her a little bit higher up because of that, because it brought a different dimension. Yeah, you know, I backed the girl.
Was it C? We did put in the C category.
Did she end up in the C
or B? I can't remember.
She didn't end up in B, so it must.
I think it was C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anyone's listening, check out our tier list. There you go. Great plug. we enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be able to watch it once I finish everything, and then we can have extended dialogue, and I can appreciate a lot of this more, knowing at where the character has gone, how they've grown, how they've developed.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
you're in for such a treat. I mean, this like you said before, Leo, so jealous that I wish I could kind of erase Mass Effect from my memory. Like, what? Mass Effect. Oh, that's okay. I'll try it out. And just start again, because
the only worry I'd have is we'd be harder to convince to try the game, probably.
Well, yeah, in 2020, maybe. Yeah,
might be harder, I am very jealous of that. Do you plan on playing all the way through and streaming each game?
Absolutely. I am super excited to be able to just go from one all the way through. I don't know if I'm going to play Andromeda necessarily, because it's not technically a continuation of that narrative. From what I've been told, it's its own separate story in the same universe, but it's not in any way connected to Shepard or their journey. And so I probably will, just because I feel like it deserves a chance at least, especially because it's received quite a bit of hate. And I think it just boils down to that concept of, well, if you go in with a certain set of expectations, and by no fault of its own, the game isn't, you know, adhering to those expectations, it doesn't make it bad. It just isn't what you expected, and maybe even what you wanted. And so maybe it's just not for you.
Yeah, weirdly enough, you're actually talking to two people who liked Andromeda, which is definitely, we're in the minority there, but it was... As you've mentioned, if you take away from the fact that it is the next Mass Effect game and you don't go in with the expectations of like continuation or the expectations from the original trilogy, you can really enjoy the game. But it was hard at that time when I look back, because even I was so excited. I was like, oh yes, the next Mass Effect game, finally. I think it was, what, so 6 years? Maybe less after three?
Less. It was
17,
5 years,
wasn't it?
Mass Effect 3 was 2012, Mass Effect Andromeda was 2017, yeah, 5 years.
So obviously going in, your expectations are high, but I think maybe for you, Emma, you might be able to appreciate it as a standalone more so. I don't know. It'll be interesting, because obviously you're playing through right now.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not... if you take the Mass Effect's name away and it was just called Andromeda...
Yeah, yeah.
People wouldn't have as, but it's a good game. It is a good game. It's just that because it's got that Mass Effect in front of it, and obviously that means something to a lot of gamers. So
it does.
It brings a lot of expectation, and I just think they unfortunately couldn't quite manage the expectation for this game.
That's actually something we said, wasn't it, when we reviewed it? I think we said like if you called it like, I don't know, Sud Space Journey. People would
not sure how much
like,
it would sell.
Well, I don't know how much it would sell either, you know. But people, if they played it, would probably be like, yeah, decent, good.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't be like, oh, this is a masterpiece. But you also wouldn't be in the camp of, this is the worst game I've ever played, as some people were saying. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
We know you're upset. Don't worry, we get it. But it's not that bad. just give it a chance.
Right.
One of the YouTubers, actually, we've had on in the past, Fishy, he was a big hater of, well, I say big hater, maybe I'm putting words in his mouth. He really didn't like Andromeda when it first came out. And he's actually playing through it now. He's going to be doing a video on it. And he was saying how he's getting a much more of an appreciation for the game and how he's actually enjoying it.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah. So I think, Sud, you might correct me, but it feels like a lot of people only played it once.
I don't think a lot of people even played it once. That's the problem. What I think a lot of that? People didn't actually play the game for a start off. And I also think a lot of people probably played the game for maybe 2 or 3 hours and just dropped it. It's definitely, I don't know if you would agree, Luke, it's a slow burn, Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, yeah.
More than the other ones. I mean, I guess Mass Effect 1 as well is quite slow at the start. It takes a couple of hours to get into, but with Andromeda, I think it takes even a bit longer, maybe 3 or 4 hours before you're like, okay, I get the game now. I understand where it's going. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of understand this probably isn't going to be quite at the same standard as the original three, but you know, I still think there's cool characters in it. I think there's some cool missions.
I think we both recommend it, won't we?
The combat's fantastic. Yeah. If you're after combat, Mass Effect is the best one. The combat.
Yeah,
I've heard that the combat's good.
Yeah, it's really good. So
I'm looking forward to you playing the second one, actually, in the jump of the combat.
Second
the combat system. Oh my days! It's
such an improvement, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Emma, what platform are you playing the Mass Effect 1 on?
I am playing it through Steam, so PC.
I think that's probably definitely the best way to play it as well, because obviously you've got the improvements with the frame rates and things like that.
Absolutely.
So, whereas if you play it on an Xbox 360 or PS3, you can some of the load times and there's a lot of problems with frame rates and stuff like that. So definitely the best way to, I'd say, if you've got PC, definitely play on PC, the trilogy.
Absolutely. And I know that that would allow me to use mods and stuff, but I've made the decision not to, at least for my first playthrough. I wanted to experience it as it was. Yeah. And that's included some glitches, like in the actual game. We went into Peak 15 and everything, all the movable parts, so all the boxes that would get shoved around during biotics and our actual playable characters as well as enemy characters, turned into giant blocky black blobs. And I don't know if that's a very common glitch, apparently enough to be on the internet with a fix. We jokingly called it Minecraft mode. we literally had to go in and get into the console and command type out a fix. Yeah, and I think it just ended up being a lighting issue. And so we just bumped the lighting up or the camera. Right. And there we go. It's in glaringly bright white light, but not a Minecraft character anymore.
There you go.
Well,
which is an improvement.
I don't know about you. Most of the glitches I had on, especially the first game, was like doors not opening or getting stuck in doors and I couldn't open it again. So I had to reload the game. That were mostly glitches that I had.
I know this is probably looking through rose-tinted glasses, but I do not remember any glitches. I would have had some, but there's none that stick out to me that I was like, oh yeah, I remember that now. That was bad.
I think I just had a couple, where there was like doors where we wouldn't light up in blue? Had that like blue, they just wouldn't light up or like people you try and speak to, you just wouldn't be able to interact with them. I had a couple of glitches like that, but...
To be fair though, it was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. I can't believe it was 13 years ago, Jesus.
I know.
So long ago, isn't it?
It makes me feel old.
Yeah.
And
it does.
13 years later, and I'm still excited for a potential remaster.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
It just goes to show how good the trilogy is that people... I think it will sell really well as well when it eventually comes out. Because
absolutely.
People have kind of missed Mass Effect this generation. I think I said this on a previous podcast that even though we've had Mass Effect Andromeda this generation, it feels like we haven't had Mass Effect in a strange way this generation. Because of just people, you know, it being a lukewarm game and people not reacting well to it. And so to get a remastered trilogy, hopefully we'll get one before Christmas as well, which would be awesome.
Oh, fingers crossed. Well, the rumours are October, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's true.
What would you do, Emma, if you, I don't know, just it times up well and you complete the first game and then the remaster is just out? Would you play the second one on the remaster or are you just going to play like the OG?
There's definitely a compelling argument both ways. Playing it without the remaster would be the original experience. But clearly playing it with the remaster would improve probably whatever issues were implicit into clearly the graphics, maybe any sort of like weird glitches or the combat is apparently good in that one too. So
it is.
That would be such a hard call to make. I'm honestly fine with either option. I'll probably let my community decide because I'm impartial at this point. So whatever would make them happiest.
I kind of, I think I'd like to see you play the OG second one, at least at the start, to get the feeling of the jump we all felt when we played the original one. Yeah, because I think, that is one thing.
Maybe the best thing to do would be just to play the original three as they are, and then maybe when the remaster shows it comes out, you could play them all again and do different choices and things. That's maybe what I'd do.
That seems like a really smart idea because I won't even be able to appreciate the remaster until I've played the original game. So it would almost be wasted on me.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, you might not be able to. So yeah, that'll be really interesting. And we definitely would love to get you back on the pod once you've completed the story so we can have a full-on discussion.
Very excited for that. 100%. And then we can actually talk about all of them instead of having to dance around, which I appreciate. Thank you for being so kind and considerate about that.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. No worries.
Yeah, we always love talking about Mass Effect. So
yeah, we could talk about Mass Effect for hours, couldn't we?
We could, to be fair. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely would love to get you back on. And where can people find your Twitter or your socials, et cetera, and your YouTube?
So everything should be under Emmeline, which is E-M-A-L-Y-N-D-E. That's on YouTube. That's on Twitch. That's on Twitter, but there's an underscore at the end. Instagram, definitely too. I did a Shepard cosplay, which I intend to do one for each series and then kind of watch her as she grows. Mm-hmm. So I have her in like her training gear for this one, and then we'll do the very stereotypical N7 leather jacket for two, and then the full armor build for three, because I want to kind of signify her growth and progression and development as well. And so that's mostly on Insta, but you can catch streams on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. I know that's very, very early in the morning for the UK. I think it's like 1 a.m. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's pretty early.
Which is amazing because I still have UK kiddos who show up every time. And I feel so bad for ruining their sleep schedule. But
it was
really
ruined long before.
How much people love Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's true. I think me and Luke, we're both night owls, aren't we?
Yeah, we are night owls. And there's a lot of people whose sleeping schedules are ruined long before, definitely. So don't worry about that. You're helping them by giving them something to watch at night.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, definitely check out Emma's Instagram and stuff. The cosplays are really cool. I followed you recently on there and got to see them. So
Thank you.
Really cool. Nice work. And obviously, I will link everything in the description below. So definitely go and check out her socials and her channels and watch the gameplay and enjoy the experience with her. Very interesting to see what happens. I'm intrigued anyway. I want to see the choices. So yeah, it's been great. So keep up the good work on that side of things.
Thank you.
You can also follow the Checkpoint Reach podcast on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at @CheckReachPod. And if you are listening to us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and leave us a comment below with your thoughts on what we've discussed today in the Mass Effect universe. And if you are listening on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and pass on the pod. You can follow me and Sud on social media. Where can people find you, Sud?
It's just on Twitter for me, at David10Spud.
Lovely stuff. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's, add a 9 in the end for Instagram. But anyway, thanks for joining us again, Emma. We really appreciate that. It was good fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun to sit here and chat about one of the best video games I've played in a good long time.
Glad to hear it. And we look forward to having you on for that full discussion.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. That'll be exciting. 100%. But yeah, me and Sud will be back next week to discuss some more gaming news. Have a good week, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.